When we are converting from hobby writer to professional writer, what is our number one resolution? Is it to be the best author we can? Is it to make lots of money? Or to have fame or influence? Our resolution should be to be a writer with great resolve. Wait, you cry. I thought I'd decided to do that already. All I have to do is be resolved? Yes, it's that simple and that hard. How do we do it? Maybe this episode can help. Welcome to The Right Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels, headed up by M.A. Lee with the assistance of Remy Black and Edie Runes, all from Writers Inc. Books. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. Show notes for this and other episodes can be found on therightfocus.blogspot.com. Write to us at winkbooks@aol.com. Our podcast episodes last as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, drive a short commute, or take a brisk walk. M.A. Lee is currently offering her novella The Lion's Den as a freebie when you sign up for her newsletter. Write to winkbooks@aol.com and ask to join to get the link and the free novella and then the current newsletter. As for today, our resolution to resolve to be a writer is easy and hard. Start out by determining what you want this week, this month, this season, this year. Yes, I know, here we are at the end of the third month of the year, and I'm talking about resolutions. The first of the year is traditionally the time to reflect over the past year and consider the upcoming year. Everyone creates a list of resolutions for the coming year. For my writing resolutions, I never wait for January 1st or even December 31st. The holidays have so many distractions that I want my coming year planned long before the first day of the new year. Typically, I do the thinking part of my reflection throughout the month of November after Thanksgiving on the first Sunday of the Advent season. When I am appropriately grateful for all I've received, I create a written plan for the next year using a calendar, generating a series of deadlines for my writing from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. This is the reason that a writer's resolutions are ongoing, constant, a daily resolve, and we have to be resolved to succeed. The deadlines that are more than 7 months in advance are more nebulous than tangible reality, but I find it helps to have a basic idea of where I want to go with my writing. It does help to have a wish list. This year in advance plan set rolling encounters disruptions before the end of the second season, really before the end of the first season. I keep firming it up, switching things around, changing things. The wishes that will become reality, the wishes that need to percolate longer, the wishes that have a little more consideration in front of them, and the wishes that might manage to crowd in. By the start of September, 11 months after my initial plan, I know how much more I will be able to accomplish in the remaining 4 months of the year. Replanning starts with the next Advent system. Actually, the first day of spring is a great choice for reflection and planning. Spring is rebirth and renewal, the beginning sprigs of new growth shooting up from the newly warmed ground. Spring is an excellent time to rethink your writing life and plant your plans for the coming year. Other writers wait for the blazing heat of summer to shine the light on their writing. Conditioned by many years of traditional public schools, they view May as an ending. June becomes an opportunity to relaunch, to burn out the interferences with the writing. Whichever time of the year that you select, Advent, or New Year's Day, or spring, or summer, or even any other time of the year, you don't have to wait. All you have to do is be resolved. Set a plan for your projects and how you will juggle them with your personal and professional lives. It's three balls that are going now. Consider how long projects will take. Track the days, track the effort, plan for your expenses several months in advance, and you will have the money needed when the time comes for publishing. Keep one project at the fore. Focusing on it creates a steady pattern of work. Keep another project advanced on the burner, turning to it when you do hit those draining lags. It may be at the research or character development or scene blocking stage. It may be in its winter, waiting for a final proof. Keep a third project at the simmer stage, making notes occasionally as the mood strikes. If you can juggle four projects, one in focus, another at the research stage, a third waiting for proof, and a fourth merely simmering, Go for it. I can juggle for a little while. At some point, one or more of the balls gets dropped. Sometimes I drop all four balls. When I become close to finishing the focus project, I do become laser focused on one ball. With other projects already in motion, we can easily pick them up and keep working, accomplishing more and more of our goals for the year as soon as we finish our laser focus. Somewhere, I think it was Pinterest, I came across the following mantra, uncredited and totally anonymous, but absolutely genius. You can find various versions, most a little more foul-mouthed, which people tend to like. Set goals, don't tell anyone, smash the hell out of them, clap for your own damn self, repeat. I quibble with only one part of that, the clap for your own damn self. When we celebrate the completion of a project, not just finishing, remember, we need to let people know. If you've completed a manuscript and you've followed Robert Heinlein's advice and put it on the market, whether by sending to a publishing house or an agent or by publishing it yourself, then celebrate with family and friends. That celebration gives us something to anticipate as we grind through the drain times of the next project. Completion of projects and celebrating that completion will energize us as we enter the next project. No longer do we feel like Sisyphus rolling an impossible boulder up an impossibly steep mountain. We know we can do it. We've done it. We can do it again. Set goals, long-term, short-term, achievable projects projected into the future with deadlines. Don't tell anyone, not anyone. No matter how much you want to share a brilliant idea, wait until the project is completed. Don't lose the fire by sharing and having others nix it. Smash the hell out of them. This may take months. Commitments might turn those months into years. We just keep advancing, tracking our days, knocking out the scenes one at a time, turning scenes into chapters and chapters into books, getting it done. Celebrate. Repeat. Here is your number one resolution. I will think like a pro. Author, poet, blogger, dramatist, all writers should have the same thought. I am a writer. That's the mindset you snatch up and ingest. It must become part of your DNA, mutating through your being like a beneficial virus. How do we change our view of writing from mere hobby or escape to profession? Take three actions. 1. Be devoted. 2. Be professional. 3. Be intrigued. Be devoted, number 1, is a lot like thou shalt have no other gods before me. This doesn't mean that other gods, money, celebrity, bling, shopping, gossip, salacious viewing, etc., aren't out there. It means that nothing else comes before God. We need to view writing with that same eagle-eyed focus. Be devoted to writing. Don't worship it. Yet don't let petty distractions and time wasters get between you and your pursuit of writing professionally. How can we be devoted? By keeping our workspace professional. Turn off the distractions, the boob tube, solitaire or mahjong, social media in whatever iteration currently distracts you, and email. Do you really need to watch every minute of the news or that reality show or house flipping or endlessly running TV series and movie marathons? Have you noticed most of those shows repeat? Do you really need to post that cupcake to Pinterest? Do you need to see every image of cupcake? Why are you even looking at cupcakes? The twit who's tweeting you can wait. Help him learn patience. Nor do you need to respond instantly to emails and phones. But my phone, you protest. My emails. Turn them off. You can answer anything that came in while you were writing after you finish the writing for the day. Phone calls can go to voicemail. Emails sit in the mailbox very easily. Social media has its place for marketing your work. Make an appointment with yourself once or twice a month or once a week to spend the necessary promotional time on Facebook or Twitter or Pinterest and others. By the way, food is also a distraction. Clean out the candy, popcorn, chips, the incessant mugs of coffee. Oh, that one's my bane. And the sweet drinks. None of that is helping your brain. They start up sweet cravings. And remember, starches turn into sweets. Giving into those cravings merely sets off a ticking bomb for a system depressor that will implode in about an hour. We need to write, not stare at the screen or blank paper, because our brains are befogged by sweets. If eating is essential, carrots and sliced cucumbers and apples will give the body what it needs and can use. Basically, anything that interferes with the work of writing goes away from your writing space. Parents will have to squeeze writing time into their day, get up earlier or stay up later, write sitting on the bleachers, sneak ideas into a journal in 10-minute or 20-minute increments. Waiting in the vehicle is a wonderful opportunity to write. By the way, make your significant other pull equal weight with household chores. The house doesn't have to be spotless. Ironing is not a necessity. Clean clothes are. Rinse the dishes as you use them. Wash them every other day or slide them into the dishwasher. Number two is be professional. To think like a professional, observe professionals and model yourself on them. In behavior is the first way you observe them. Look at how they act at organizations they attend. Distinguish among the people who attend these meetings. Pro, gonna-be, wanna-be, and newbie. A gonna-be is on the path toward publication. A wanna-be is someone who claims to write, but never actually does. If writing occurs, she or he never actually finishes. A newbie has just started. Remember, completing a project is big. Some wannabes and newbies never reach the completion stage. Only occasionally will the pros come out of the woodwork. Primarily for seminars and special events, they will teach at seminars. Listen to them. Those of us who have been writing for years can spot the problematic conference attenders. These are the hobbyists and escapists who ask obvious questions. We cringe for them. They don't cringe. They don't even know they should be cringing. Sorry, that was a rant. Pay the dues to belong. Writing organizations are helpful for introducing you to ideas you will not find on your own. Fellow members can give guidance and serve as mentors. They will also give you a sense that you are not collapsing, that your dream is transitioning to reality, and that you are not alone in your struggles. Being a pro also means giving back. Contribute where you can. Give advice only when it's asked for. Be helpful, not overbearing. The people you counsel and critique may become your audience. The local writers group may have two or three active professionals pursuing writing and getting paid for it, even if only in small increments, so join it. If it has no professionals, then drive the necessary distance to get to an organization with active professionals. Don't depend on the advice of other newbies or unpublished writers if publication is your goal. Professionals keep business and personal accounts separate. Hobbyists and escapists funnel everything through their personal accounts. Separate your financial accounts. If the writing money can't support a separate account, at least keep a ledger to track financials separately. Separate your email accounts. Apps abound that amass all email accounts into one place. When you reply, the reply leaves the app as if it's coming from the email it was directed to. The reason many professionals only occasionally emerge at an organization's meeting is that they are writing. We need to be writing too. So ask, do I need to attend this meeting? Now, this is a balancing act. Supporting an organization takes time away from writing, but you need to support the organization. However, your focus should be on your writing. This focus should include the people who see the first public version. Hobbyists and escapists have friends as first readers, also known as beta readers. These friends gush about how great the writing is. Nope, these are not the first readers that you need. Before I talk about the readers you do need, one word. Be nice to all of your beta readers. Please don't give them the beta version of your manuscript. Beta developed as a term for software that still had a lot of known bugs. Give your beta readers a polished manuscript, not one with bugs you know about. While professionals want to hear the manuscript is great, they would rather the beta readers were mean about the manuscript. Critique partners should look for plot holes, character dynamics, character synergy, continuity, info dump, lack of suspense, and pacing. Critique partners and beta readers should mark all the errors they see. When they hand the manuscript back, be grateful and acknowledge their assistance in your published manuscript. If it's the critique you need, you may want to cry or scream or burn it or all three at once. Avoid the last and learn from the mistakes they found as you correct them. The third part of our resolution to resolve to be a writer is to be intrigued. That's our action in our resolve to be a writer. One of the hardest parts of any professional career is maintaining a high interest level. The resolution to be a writer is hardest at this point. Writing is the most difficult of jobs, primarily for its very isolation. Humans come with two wires, amiability and curiosity, and writing, that isolates us from both of those. Family, friends, colleagues, and organizations, both social and professional, can charge up our amiability wire. Keeping our curiosity charged is not so easy. New projects entice us, yet before long, our piqued interest fades. How can we maintain our curiosity when we know our characters and the plot and the setting and the outcome and all the twists? When a manuscript is getting you down, take a break from it. Add in a new character, or a new twist, or a new invention. Try something new. Tinker with it whenever the primary project is driving you crazy or deadening your senses. And stay physically active. It is amazing how much physical activity drives intellectual activity. Move the body, energize the brain. Finally, being a professional means that some days we just have to slog through the mud and grind the work out. That's okay. We can always rewrite it. After all, we're writers. Thank you for listening to our bookcast of Think Like a Pro, The 7 Lessons of Deadlines, Daily Writing, Understanding Plot as You Invent Characters, Conquering Writer's Block, and Sparking Creativity, and last, Keeping Your Resolution Firmly Pinned to the Goal of Being a Writer. These 7 lessons will change your mindset from hobby writer to professional writer. Change starts first in your mind. Next episode is the last one of March and the first episode for Write a Book in a Month. Our next podcast focus will be podcasting every day of April. I'm a little panicked about that. Join us though, and remember, write on.